was trying to remember what you call it when you in porn where like all these dudes finish on a girl's face. What's that called?
Bukkake.
Thank you. If they had like a bukkake goodbye, oh, that would have been better if I remembered it on
the old Klingon bukkake goodbye.
Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 8 of season 4. This one is called Future Imperfect. It was directed by Les Landau, written by J. Larry Carroll and David Bennett Caron, and it aired back on November 12, 1990. During an away mission, Riker falls unconscious and awakens to discover that 16 years have passed and he is now captain of the Enterprise. Having no memory whatsoever of the time that has passed, he begins to suspect that the future he finds himself in may not be real. Tana and Sean are going to join me to talk about this one. We butt heads a little bit about Future Imperfect, but 16 years from now, you all look back and realize who was right all along. Anyway, Future Imperfect, right after this audio break, me, Sean, and Tana are going to go deep on this wonderful episode of Star Trek The Next Generation.
What's the problem?
I've had to shut down the warp engines, Captain.
Why?
Antimatter containment fields are fluctuating. There's nothing to worry about, though.
We're in the edge of the neutral zone at impulse power, and you're not concerned?
I'll have the engines back online in no time.
Like you tracked down that faulty processing accelerator.
I'm running a level one diagnostic.
For 30 hours? That would never take you more than 4. You're incapable of that level of incompetence, Mr. LaForge. Worf? Where did you get that scar?
In combat.
What battle? When? Which sector? Which unit? Mr. Data, if we left immediately, when would we arrive at Outpost 23?
At Warp 1, 3 days, 4 hours.
What about at Warp 7? At Warp 8? At Warp 9? What's the matter, Data? What happened to those millions of calculations per second?
Pardon me, sir. I'm experiencing subspace interference, which limits my abilities. I can't operate as quickly as...
What did you say?
I said I cannot operate...
No! That's not what you said. You said I can't. You used a contraction, didn't you?
Sir, I can explain if you would just give me a moment.
No, you can't. Don't even try.
Captain, perhaps it would be best if we discuss this.
Shut up!
I beg your pardon.
I said shut up! As in close your mouth and stop talking.
All right. We're in the future. We're 16 years in the future. Sean, Tana, how are you guys?
Doing good. Feeling good tonight.
Welcome back. You just joined me in real time to talk about Reunion, a strong episode. We're moving on to Future Imperfect right now, which in my opinion, I think I always say this expression wrong, but I'm going to bury the lead, which I think is the exact opposite of what I mean, and say that I like Future Imperfect very, very much. What do you guys think?
That's the opposite of burying the lead.
It is. It's not even like I don't understand why, because it's not obtuse.
Leading with the lead.
That is unearthing the lead and propping it up like Weekend at Bernie's. What did you guys think about this episode?
I thought it was brilliant.
I actually hate this episode.
Really?
And I'm not even kidding. And it's always bugged me. You know, the very beginning when you hear Riker start to play his music list, man, you hear wah wah wah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the soundtrack for the whole episode.
So you feel this guest star is Charlie Murphy.
But I respect your opinions, but it'll be nice to
I love this episode because of how absolutely awful it is from every angle for every reason. Like, it's a delightfully enjoyable train wreck of an episode.
Okay. Really? Wow.
Oh yeah.
So you and me versus Wes. Okay,
yeah, basically.
Let's do this.
I guess I'll start off by saying I love high concept episodes,
mm-hmm.
Which this one certainly is.
Yep.
It's definitely a pitch that happens in a sentence. I love mystery episodes. This is kind of a mystery. And I think that this mystery has been the best one so far, where the show has not either overplayed its hand or revealed itself too early as to what's going on. So I think it's pretty tight about what goes on, because what this episode reminds me of is Remember Me. I don't know if you guys watched Remember Me recently. It's the one where Dr. Crusher is in the parallel shrinking universe.
Right.
That episode, yeah. I thought the problem was that the mystery was not strong enough to sustain 45 minutes. So the show had to, by nature, by necessity, sort of show you what was happening with like 20 minutes left in the show. And from that point on, the show just kind of limped to the finish line because the audience was ahead of what Dr. Crusher knew.
Yeah.
This does not suffer from that problem. It's much better writing.
There's a nice twist at the end, or a nice surprise that you don't really see coming.
Right. So they fix the problem by they tell you what's going on, and then they say, oh, at the very end, actually, that was a total fake out, which is a much better way of handling it.
Yeah.
But let's get into why you guys didn't like it. I wish Clay was here now. Clay was seemed very enthusiastic about the episode.
Oh, you know what? Clay's going to listen to this podcast. He's going to be so mad that he wasn't here.
He's going to be driving back.
I'm not going to read any of his hilarious tweets about the episode either.
He's going to be driving back from D.C. and just being like, what the fuck, and drive off into the Chesapeake Bay off the bridge after hearing you guys defile this fine episode. So tell me why you don't like this one.
I think it's hilarious.
I love it. It's so stupid.
Well, all right, but define. So do you really like it or not? Like, would you show it to somebody, Tana?
Oh, I would never show this to Kirsten. Never, ever. Like, this would be Kirsten just staring at me the entire episode and being like, this is why I hate your show.
Well, see, that's funny because I feel this episode is much more... I feel I could show this one to a non-Trek person much more easily than Reunion.
Yeah, well, maybe you need to be a Trek person to see the absurdity of, like, what did Clay call the holodeck woman?
Minuet's the holodeck hooker.
His holodeck porn vision lady was the wife, and this is how he unravels the mystery of, like, who's trying to fake him out. Ugh.
My only problem with that point is that I'm very familiar with the show, and I don't recognize Minuet.
Yeah.
Right. I couldn't even tell you if it was the same actress. It is, which is amazing, but it's a very difficult reference.
She looked familiar, but I didn't remember her being a huge part of Riker's holodeck past.
Oh, she has been. She was completely the focus of one episode in the first season.
If they had him married to Luoxana, he'd be like, all right, come on, I know. Come out from behind the curtains.
Come on out.
Where's the camera?
I don't think so. I think he'd be like, oh, yeah, now it's going down. We're getting this on tonight.
It's a difficult, difficult sell. I mean, if I'm going to – I'll do you one. I'll tell you what I don't like about this episode. The – old age makeup looks like someone just spray painted gray into even people's hair, which I think is probably the worst part of the entire aspect. But I guess I should do a quick plot recap. This is the one where Riker, Worf, and Geordi beam down to a planet. They start getting gassed somehow. They try to beam out. Riker wakes up 16 years in the future where he's the captain of the Enterprise and everything has changed. Picard is an admiral who is negotiating a peace treaty with the Romulans. The Romulans are showing up to sign some sort of peace treaty with the Federation. Everyone's very happy. But the computer is running very slowly. And for some reason, Riker can't get the computer to tell him what he wants to hear. The twist is that the Romulans have been doing this to Riker. Riker is actually a prisoner of the Romulans on the planet. And then, twist after that, it's not actually that. It's the alien that has been posing as Riker's son in both the original fantasy and the Romulan fantasy is actually an alien that's been on this planet who has basically a holodeck that he can entertain himself with, and he wanted to keep Riker there to basically play with. And then that ends the episode.
So for once, Riker gets played with, not the other way around.
No, it totally fits into his theme of always being the center of everyone's attention universe. Like, everyone can't bear to be away from Riker, including this alien being who wants to adopt him as a father.
I might have messed up by saying the worst part was the gray old age makeup. The worst part is the garbage costume that the alien is wearing.
Oh, yeah.
Phone it in, guys.
That was the leftover costume from the first series, I think.
It must have been. It looked awful. It was.
They shook it out. They did one like big flop and just dusted it out and put it on somebody. Like, it was terrible.
I'm not a big fan of energy beings, but in this case, I'd be like, just turn this guy into an energy being. I'm not shooting this rubber costume.
Give us some early 90s CGI instead of whatever this is.
It would be way better. It just yeah. it
Doesn't
makes no
he
sense.
Say something like, I'm sorry, father? Doesn't he
yes,
say something like that, too?
He says something like, my name is like Borosh or something like that. I don't track up because the episode
it
ends before that happens, in my opinion.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I think it's an interesting episode because you get the sense early on that something's not right. Riker just wakes up. Something mysterious happens on this planet on the edge of the neutral zone, and the Romulans aren't anywhere in the area, suspiciously. And then he wakes up in the future, and we have a Romulan treaty that only he can broker. And so there are a lot of, like, I don't know, red herrings that this is a Romulan trap. And I think they do a really good job of, you know, trying to, I don't know, dangle that carrot. Like you don't solve the mystery. You think you know what's going on, you know, when you finally enter the Romulan world and yep. leave their holodeck. But it turns out that also was a holodeck and was just this alien kid still playing with Riker.
Yep.
So I thought it was well done that way. But the hilarity of it is how absurd Riker is as a character throughout. Like, his trombone, the kid plays the trombone, and, like, and he can't, you know, or the trumpet or whatever it is, and, like, Riker's, like, 16 years later, I still can't hit that note. And his fake son is like, Dad, you can never hit that note.
he's a trombonist or tromboner, however you'd
he's a tromboner. He is a tromboner.
I'm sure Riker would prefer a tromboner.
Yeah, he's totally a tromboner, Wes.
I guess I have a fundamental disconnect. I don't find him particularly ridiculous in this episode. I think this is like a perfect Riker episode because he's the kind of character that is he has potentially the most realistic response to weird stuff. I think he's put in a lot of episodes that are like something weird is happening and he's the only one that thinks something abnormal is going on because you know Picard is too cerebral, Worf is too emotional, Geordi's too bland, and Data is too logical. So Riker is this pleasant mix of like he can get angry about things and it seems in character. I think he's fairly effective in this, and I think that the script is strong enough to carry through. But Sean, before I cut you off, what were you going to say about what you didn't like about it?
Well, I was going to say I remember seeing this episode for the first time, and I thought it was a good first time episode. Because if you don't know what's coming, it does seem interesting because you're exploring these possibilities of what's going to happen in the future. You know, Picard's on a Klingon ship or whatever. But when you get to the end, these aren't other possible worlds or other, you know, universes that where things might happen like that. It's just a kid who downloaded Riker's brain and stirred up the soup and then just and fucked around with him.
Yes.
And I feel like that's the difference for me. Like, I like high concept too, but there has to be some reason behind it. And there wasn't anything. Like, when I got to the reveal of this, I just felt like, oh, haha, it was a dream. Doesn't mean anything.
Yes, it does. It does suffer from the dream thing. And it's not a, you're right, it's not an alternate timeline. Like, none of this is really happening.
Right. But the finale of it, when you get to see these, this is one possible future that everyone will experience, and that then you take it seriously. But when it's just an alien playing around with your brains, with your synapses, it just doesn't. I don't know. Like I just felt it felt I felt that it fell really flat at the end, and it makes it really hard to rewatch this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I rewatched it. I don't think it's something like cause and effect, you know, which is. It's probably less rewatchable than something like that, which is odd because the nature of cause and effect is that it's just the same sort of thing happening over and over again. It's tough because I have a hard time coming up with a real negative. Like, I understand what you're saying with that, but for some reason it doesn't bother me, even though I do totally hate the it was all a dream thing.
Yeah.
Mostly because nothing important here happens that gets wiped out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that's what irritates me about dream stuff. Like when you experience a movie and it turns out to be all be a dream, the whole point of watching the movie was to see what happens. So it's a huge betrayal when it's just all a dream.
Right.
But the fact that this is a dream has not really changed anything, because it's not like we spent the episode thinking that this is actually going to be happening. You know, like, we know that he's not in the future. We know that going in.
Right.
So it's not a huge betrayal to me to flip it around on him.
And it just doesn't make sense. This alien thought that he didn't know that the Riker's biggest fantasy was this holodeck plaything. Yet the alien knew that one day Geordi would remove that thing from his eyes and choose to use. I mean, it's just such a mix of, like, what are fans going to want to see? It's a lot of fan service, and it just, I don't know. I guess I'm just repeating myself at this point.
No, that, I mean,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Tiana, go ahead.
I just found the entire thing really amusing, but I think that you and I are coming at characters like Riker from completely different perspectives. I find him ridiculous to the point of absurd, from the way he goes over a chair and, like, his reactions to things is always like, he's that guy in Futurama without pants. Like, that's, I think of the captain in Futurama that doesn't wear pants and Riker as a lot of times the same person, you know, and he plays the trombone. Like, make the guy, what's the captain's name, Sean? Do you remember?
Oh yeah. Zap Brannigan.
Zap Brannigan. Like, imagine Zap Brannigan teaching his son to play the trombone and being a tromboner. Like, it's the same thing. Like, that hilarity.
Do you find something inherently funny about the trombone? I do.
Like, of all the things you're going to play, it's the trombone. And I think that's fine. Anybody that's listening that plays the trombone in real life, I think that's awesome. I really do.
Direct all your hate mail.
This character play the trombone, and, like, everyone is on their way to Riker's party, and it's just comedy for me. This is a funny episode for me.
Interesting.
It's a big brass cock. That's exactly what it is. Say it is.
It's a big brass cock.
Riker was like, you know what? Get me an instrument that's long and oral, and let me play that.
Did you guys see the GoPro that the trombonist put on the end of his slide? No. Oh, it's great. It went viral. It was like millions of hits. And so it's like this guy is playing the trombone and he's a professional musician in an orchestra and he's just at home practicing and you are on the end of the slide. And so you're zooming into this guy's face, like right to his nose practically, and then shooting across halfway across his room up to the ceiling and back again. It's a really... It's a really hilarious video. You guys should check it out. So I think that the trombone is inherently a funny thing.
Just so you guys know, Frakes actually is playing the trombone.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, this is not a writer's decision to sort of like make him play the trombone.
I wonder if they're like, well, maybe we'll have you sharpening a sword, or like, if you're going to do it in a machismo way, why don't we make that affectation like super bro-y, you know, like go really push it, because I just think you come up short when you're a trombone, you know, like have him just like, I don't know, sliding a whetstone up a dagger or a sword or something, like something actually phallic, you know.
You have a very interesting interpretation of the trombone. I don't think they were playing the trombone in the medieval era.
Man, yeah, Tana, you are off on your own. I'm glad you don't like the episode as well, but I'm not backing you any of these things you're saying about music.
Sean,
hey guys, I think we experienced Star Trek differently, you guys.
Sean has his great trombone solos record playing in the background right now, and he's just enjoying it very much.
I was gonna offer Wes a bone, or a boner.
A trombone.
Trombone.
Well, I think that for me, the episode would have stuck the ending if you had set up like Worf, or what's his name, Riker, if at the very beginning he had something where he had trouble understanding a child on the ship. I don't know, it's lame, but if you had that happen and then he had these weird mystery adventures and then he found out that there's this alien who's lonely on the planet, so it's all a dream, but then he goes back to the ship and he sees that child again and he shows sympathy this time, so at least there was some payoff.
See, I feel that gives it away. Like, yes. you know that the kid is the problem, like, but yeah. it's a little obvious if, like, a kid shows up and then he goes into this thing where this kid is controlling everything.
I know. Well, all I'm saying is if there was some reason for the journey, it would justify the journey in the dream.
How dare you? How dare you disagree with me?
All right, sorry. So this is
girls,
my last podcast.
Girls, you're both pretty.
This is a 6 out of 5. No, I can understand that. This is a sort of, I might be coming from a different perspective because what we've basically done through the first like 10 episodes of season 4 has been this huge tonal shift where the show is very interested in family. Like all the episodes have had to deal with sort of family interpersonal conflict stuff. Yeah. And this has been the first episode to really not do that in a long time. And I was sort of getting a little anxious because as much as I love the drama that TNG tries to do sometimes, the show is not fantastic at it, so doing a lot of it makes it a little difficult.
Yeah.
And this is the first show to not do that.
But this is all about family. This is about Riker's private yearnings to have a child and have a wife and have a family. Or at least that's the way it's framed for the first 2/3 of the episode until we realize it's actually an alien, you know, messing around and pulling things out of Riker's brain. But this is very much about a family. It's just a single dad family.
Yes and no. I kind of disagree because I don't think the episode is really saying that this is what Riker wants.
Yep.
Like the kid is saying that this is what he wants because the kid is giving his opinion about, oh, Riker really had a huge tromboner for this minuet person. So I'm going to throw her into this dream.
I want to hear Tad talk about trombones some more.
Tromboners. I will now all trombonists are going to be anti-Tiana. That's so sad. I'm sad to lose all of you.
Yeah, they are an army of literally tens, and they're coming for you. I might have a soft spot. I had a high school band that had a trombone in it, so I'm going to defend the trombone.
No, yeah, and my band in high school also did. Like, I actually am not besmirching tromboners. It's just really funny. Trombonists, musicians that play the trombone. I just think it's a really hilarious choice.
It is a funny instrument.
A hilarious choice that this is the musical instrument, the masculine affectation that Riker, who is just like a very Zap Brannigan character, chooses to have.
They're in a tough spot because I don't see anyone in the 24th century like shredding on a guitar. You know, that would be ridiculous if I saw that.
What else would he play? I was going to ask you guys.
Yeah.
If you had to pick a different instrument, what would it be?
I think it would be, if I was just to write this from scratch, it would be basically the drums, but futuristic. That seems like it would fit in Star Trek.
Like laser drums. That's
right.
Cool.
Yeah, something like along those lines. What do you think? Could you come up with
anything? Did you just say laser drums?
I hate laser drums, yeah. I was thinking instead of like little lightsaber drumsticks, I guess.
Yeah, just like little versions of them.
This is going to be an awesome space band. And then here's Riker on the trombone. Sean's on laser drums. Riker is on trombone.
Oh my god, here she goes again.
You realize the Brett Spiner came out with a singing jazz singles album during the show, and like the Michael Dorn and Patrick Stewart, I think, provided backing vocals, which is bizarre.
I would love to hear that. That must exist in the world.
It's on YouTube.
I think if I play bagpipes, you had to wear a kilt while he did it. He came in on his son wearing a kilt. I played his own mini set bagpipes. He's like, no, son, that's not how you do it.
That's not how this. That's not how this works. I can see that. Well, I don't think I have anything else to talk about. Future Imperfect. For does anyone have anything that they want to bring up before we wrap this thing up?
It's crazy. We are all over we are all over on this one. Like, no,
we're totally all over the map. So, in a non-ironic way, Wes, you really love this episode.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty strong episode.
Oh,
Tana likes it ironically, and I outwardly dislike it.
I love it for just pure Star Trek hilarity. This is a delightful episode because of how off the rails it is for me. Mystery. We don't know what's going to happen with the kid. Like, there's a twist. It's doing Star Trek stuff that Star Trek gets right. Like, this is a good episode. But the fact that this future is so imperfect is just, to me, hilarious.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to, right now, because I was interested in what Clay was saying. I'm going to open the mic to Clay. Clay, you're going to give us a 20-second take about what you thought of this episode. I'm going to put it right here.
Hey, guys. It's Clay. Wes has asked me to come in and clean up the mess started by Tana and Sean in this podcast, and I can't really blame him. Future Imperfect, I like it. I'm a sucker for the alternate reality ones, mainly because I really like to see how they change the uniforms, I think. But yeah, no, I like this one. I think it's a good continuation of what they've been doing with Riker, with some of the stuff that they started in Best of Both Worlds, but I think they don't really get into that enough, and I think the ending is kind of garbage. And overall, once you get to the ending, it kind of feels like it is a retread of some stuff they did in the original series, and it still has some of that problem of being a TNG episode that feels like half of it is just stuff taken from either the first season or the original series, and the costume of that alien at the end is laughably awful. Yeah, this one I think is the worst alternate reality thing they've done so far. But, you know, I like them, so I'm kind of a sucker for these ones. But aside from that, I think it's pretty good. I would give it a 3. And, yeah, all right, I'll see you next time. Bye.
Oh, no!
And then we're going to come back. And
he's going to be mad that we didn't even talk about, really, Holodeck.
I think
his comment was, it was so spot on.
He might be upset about the fact that we didn't talk about Picard's delivery of "we must be attending Riker's party," which is very funny for some reason.
It is funny.
It's so funny.
Anyway.
When Tana and I are here, you guys don't go on and on about us. I think this is bullshit that he's getting so much attention, even though he can be
positive. Well, here's the thing. If he responds and he's on your side, I'm not going to put it in. If he responds and he's on my side, it'll I'll just delete whatever you guys said, and we'll go on with me and Clay talking for 20 seconds. Anyway, let's wrap this thing up. I'm going to play an audio clip. We're going to come back in about 10 seconds, and we're going to give our final ratings, which should be interesting, and final thoughts for Future Imperfect.
What shall I call you? Ethan? Jean-Luc?
Doesn't matter.
This room, it's more than a holodeck, isn't it?
Much more. The neural scanners read my mind. Give me anything I want. Just like they tried to give you everything you wanted.
Everything I wanted? You probed the Enterprise. You lured us here so you could play games with me. I didn't want that. You did. Why?
My world was invaded. My people, killed. My mother brought me here so our enemies would never find me.
They found her, didn't they?
She knew that they would never stop looking for her. So she made sure I would be safe. She left the scanners to protect me, to give me anything I wanted.
Anything? Then why did you kidnap me?
I wanted you to stay. It's been so long. I just wanted somebody real. I thought that you'd be happy. I'm sorry.
All right. Final ratings for Future Imperfect. This one will be interesting. I'm not going to say anything. So how about, Tanda, you go first, because Sean went first last time.
Yeah, so first I'm going to read Clay's tweet, which is, I knew it was fake when I saw I was married to a holodeck porno chick. Nice try, Romulans.
Good score. Good try.
You know what? It's actually funnier when Tana reads it than when Clay types
it. It's so great. It slayed me today when I read that on the old Twitter feed. Oh, I died laughing. Oh, God. Because you got to imagine it in Clay's voice. So, anyway.
All caps.
I give this a 2, a solid 2.
All right. Interesting. Do you want to give me a sentence about this 2?
This 2 is one that if it came on and I was in a good mood, I would absolutely keep this on the TV, and I would chuckle while drawing comics all day. Like, that's my perfect scenario for watching this episode, which is how I spent the day watching it today. If Kirsten ever came into the room, I would turn that TV off so quick it would make your head spin.
Interesting. Sean, give us your rating. Give us your thoughts.
I agree. I'm going to go 2 out of 5. I think, but the best part of this episode was that it one day led me to hear Tana's character assassination of trombonists, which I think makes this episode almost have a 3.
I'm going to rue the day I ever besmirched the trombone, fine and noble instrument that it is.
Well, Tana, you should go back and watch 11001001, which is the minuet episode, because he plays the trombone in that for the very first time, I think.
Oh, my God.
It's funny, because Frakes does play that instrument. Like, I'm sure they didn't pick the most phallic instrument for him. Like, it's just funny that it all lined up.
Right.
To give Tana this amazing mental
You guys should, after we finish podcasting, you should check out the video, the GoPro on the trombone. Because it went viral, man. There's millions of hits on that. Many of the people listening right now know exactly what I'm talking about. And I want you to picture, instead of the bald musician that's tromboning, I want you to picture Riker, because that's what I'll be doing.
If there's any GoPro footage of a dude blowing another dude, I wonder if it has the same kind of in and out, you're close, you're far.
I'd imagine. There must be some sort of porn house that does these kind of things.
Straight to the gutter, Murphy.
Hey, I made it, 2 dudes. We're PC.
you PC, bro? You PC.
Bro, you PC. Go if check anyone, this privilege.
If anyone's... not watching this season of South Park, I highly recommend you do that. So that's going to be the only thing I'll say about that. But outside of that, it's my rating time, huh? I'm going to give it a 4. I think this is a strong episode. It's a good mystery that the show does pretty well. I always think the show does a good job with set design changes. Their futures are always a little bit off, but in a way that is kind of like charming and endearing, and I almost kind of wish that they used the alternate comm badge design. I like it better than the pips on their collar.
Yep.
I like stuff like that. The weirdest parts about this episode, besides the ones I mentioned, are seeing Data in red is upsetting for some reason. His skin color does not go well with red. And seeing Worf, what was Worf's deal in this episode? Why was he at ops hunched over the thing like he had been molested by Picard for 16 years?
With a scar on his face.
Yeah, what was that all about?
I don't know. That's why this is a 2, Wes.
I don't understand. He looks like he's been, like, beaten for 16 years. He's, like, so broken and just at ops and miserable. I didn't understand what the point of that was. But outside of that, it's a pretty solid little mystery, I think, that learns from the mistakes that Remember Me made and fixes them. I think it's pretty solid. I found it enjoyable to watch. I love their alternate future type stuff.
I have an olive branch for you, Wes. I agree with you. I'll go 4 out of 5 stars too, except for the ending. If it wasn't for that, I like the character moments. I like the little, you know, visualizations. Like everything you're saying, I totally agree with.
Yeah,
It's just the ending killed it. But without the ending, I'd be on board with you, I think.
I would have given it a 5. I would have given it a 5 if Picard did not look like Colonel Sanders.
He does the fake, like, that gum or whatever, you know, the glued on beard was so bad.
I don't know why he grew his hair. He seems to have really let himself go. He's like grown his hair out and grown an evil goatee.
Yeah. And it's just him and Troy in a ship by themselves. She doesn't even get a chair. It's just so weird.
Romulans don't believe in chairs.
Okay.
The last thing I'll say is that, I liked the scene between Troy and Riker here, where Troy's explaining what's happened. I think they were trying to hint at the fact that they were regretful that they hadn't been together, or she hadn't been with him. Did anyone else pick up on that? She was like a little bit teary-eyed during their little exchange. And the show didn't do the usual thing of heavy-handedly explaining why she was feeling that way.
Yeah.
Which is it's something. I don't know if that was cut or left on the editing room floor or something. Anyway, I'm giving it a 4 out of 5. If you guys enjoyed the content today, you're listening on YouTube, like and a comment. Appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, a rating and review helps get the show out there. Tana, Sean, thank you very much for coming on. I always have a lot of fun with you guys.
Wes, thanks so much for having us on.
Absolutely.
This was a great podcast. We laughed a lot.
Next time, I'll vet your opinions before we talk about the episode. But, no, it's good. It's fun when people actually disagree, because I feel a lot of these podcast episodes are people sort of agreeing about what they think the quality of the episode is. So thank you guys again. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And I'll be back next time with, I think, it's Modi. Modi's here. And we talk about Final Mission, Wesley Crusher's final appearance.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love to check off.
Listen, you guys go watch Final Mission and The Loss, and then come back and tell me that this is a 2 out of 5. I'm just gonna end it there. Modi unfortunately gets the worst of this. He has the next 2 episodes.
Awesome.
Thank you guys.
Fair, that one.
Thanks guys again. Bye. See ya.
Thanks, Wes.